نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من احب لله وابغض لله واعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الايمان كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. Yesterday we were discussing this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the person who loved for the sake of Allah, and if he disliked or hated anyone, it was solely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If he gave to anyone, it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And if he withheld and did not give, then too it was for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then he has completed his iman, he has perfected his iman. Now, especially in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we have to start making amal on this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam if we want to get the noor of ibadat in our lives. Because our loving and our dislike, our giving and our withholding, if we have to really check how much of it is it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, or for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, or for the sake of deen and sharia. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, the beloved companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have to look at their history, if we have to look at their lives, then it is so glaring, so conspicuous in their lives, that their love was for no one else but Allah Ta'ala. On the one hand, sometimes it is the father, and on the other hand, it is the enemy of Islam. So the Sahabi will have more love for the father and dislike the enemy of Islam, which is a normal thing. But sometimes it happens that the father is the one who is the enemy of Islam. The father is the one who is the enemy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then this Sahabi was unconcerned whether he is a father or what he is. The respect that is due to him, even as a non-Muslim, that much respect they will give. Because even if the father and the mother are disbelievers, but Shariat has kept some kind of rights over the children, which the children have to fulfill. There are many incidents in the books of Hadith where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed and ordered the Sahabis and his companions that they must be still kind, gentle and good to those parents, even if they are disbelievers. But if they demand or if they request that the son or the daughter do something which is against the Quran and against the Sharia, or for example those parents, they request that the child must give up Islam, then la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. Where it comes to disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, then there's going to be no obedience of the parents. But otherwise they enjoy certain rights. So what I was saying is that if there is a battle or there was jihad, and on the one side was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and on the other side was the person's own father, then the person was unconcerned that he is my father, because their love was solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Why should we love our parents? Why should we love our children? Why should we love our wives? Because it is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this loving for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, it is something which will grant the person shade under the arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Muhabbat, which is solely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love, it is such a precious commodity that Allah Ta'ala will give the person shade under his arsh on that day, when every person will be concerned about his own self, and when there is going to be no shade and no shadow or no shelter anywhere else, when the sun is going to be just one arm's length above the head. And due to the sins, the people will be perspiring so much that sweat will form puddles around the person's feet, and for some of them up till their knees, and some will be even up to the throat, and some will be drowning in their own sweat. On that day Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give these people shelter under his arsh, who had muhabbat solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now, it is not a difficult thing to make a person a friend solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. besides all the other friendships and relationships that we have been asked to maintain, a person makes a person a friend for no other reason but just so that I may get my Allah, so that I may please my Allah. So now the person's friend, he tells him that if I am negligent with my salat, then you shake me up. If I don't get up for Fajr, you give me a ring. And not the other way round, that one brother says that I've telephoned somebody and I asked him, or I telephoned him Fajr time because I found him a little negligent in Salat, coming for Fajr Salat. So when I telephoned him, so he became very angry and very upset. He said, you mind your own business. What have you got to do whether I make Salat or not? Now, na'uzubillah, statements of that kind lead to kufr. But at the same time, we too must be careful that we should not do something which will make the person go towards kufr. In these days, people's tempers are all the time flaring. There's so much of stress, and there's lack of knowledge, there's ignorance of deen, there's negligence of deen. At such a time, although we think that we are making nasihat to the person, or we are doing a very good deed, that we are getting that person up for Fajr, but when he recognizes and he knows exactly who is the person that gave the telephone call, and we know that that person is not going to really get up, in fact he is going to blurt out statements of the kind that he did blurt out, so then at such a time we should not be making or giving da'wat in that form. There are other methods that we should use at such a time. If you look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there are different instances there. And look at the awliya-i-kiram, look at the sahaba-i-kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. It was not that every time you just take one brick and hit it on somebody's head. There was ways and methods. You have to look at the occasion, you have to look at the time, you have to look at the place. Sometimes the person is doing something totally wrong and right in front of your very eyes, but you know that at this moment the person is indulging in some kind of haram. But if I am going to tell him something at this moment, then he may make a statement which will lead to kufr. So then you leave him on that haram, then take him to kufr. But of course, at the same time, it does not mean that those people who are subordinates, or those people over whom we have some authority, or those people who we know will respect our opinion, or will not make such kind of statements. In other words, if there is ghalib guman, meaning very strong opinion of one, that if I am going to tell this person at this moment and this time, then he's not going to blurt out such kind of statements. Yes, at the most, if he's going to keep quiet, and inside or within his heart he may not feel comfortable, then that is a different thing. That whenever haqq is spoken, the person is not going to be comfortable. If the person is indulging in some haram, and if you're going to tell the haqq and the truth, then it's definitely going to hurt. But if it is said in such a way that that person is not going to make any kind of statements of kufr, then it is the duty of the person to make amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar at such a time. We must not become so lax and so comfortable also in sins that any person, no matter what kind of sin he commits in front of us, it doesn't hurt us. One Allah wala got very high temperature. So the people went to visit him and they asked him what happened. So he said, whilst I was walking on the street, I saw one incident or something came before my eyes which I couldn't tolerate, and it gave me high temperature. Now, because in those days sins were not so much in vogue, so if he just saw something on the street which was indecent, accidental glance fell on it, it gave him such temperature that he couldn't even walk properly after that, and he had to be bedridden for many days. So in other words, that the concern must be there, but now at that moment probably it was not within his power to go and tell those people that what you are doing and indulging in is haram. So therefore he did not say anything, but it hurt him. The person whom sins do not hurt, then there is a very great weakness of iman. That the person is seeing sins being committed, indecency is in vogue, shameless actions are everywhere around, within his home, in his business, everywhere. And it doesn't even hurt him. He doesn't even feel any kind of pain in his heart that my Allah is being disobeyed. Then those are the people regarding whom that hadith applies, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was told to overturn a certain city or place. And he said, but Ya Allah, in this city there is a very pious person also. So he said, yes, including him, turn it upside down. So he said, why? He said, because not even a frown came on his forehead when he used to see the sins being committed. He was engaged in his ibadat, his zikr, his tilawat. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and namaz 5 times a day or whatever ibadat was at that time, the person was engaged in that, but unconcerned about what is happening in his home, to his family, to his children, to his friends, what kind of sins they are indulging in. Or when he saw sins also, then he was quite comfortable with his ibadat. So because of that, said, now do that. So whoever it may be, each and every Muslim, it is his duty that he should make Amar bil Maruf Nahi Anil Munkar. There is no specific method that there has to be a particular way of doing this Amar bil Maruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. Because it has to be done in one's home, it has to be done to one's friends, it has to be done individually, it has to be done collectively. There are different ways of doing it. But the bottom line is this, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam are being violated, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sunnats are being smashed, and when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sunnats are being trampled upon, and when deen is made a laughing matter and a joke, then at that time we must try our level best to make Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, but looking at the occasion, the time, the place, the person. Mauqa shanasi mardum shanasi, Mullah Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi used to say, Mauqa shanasi mardum shanasi. See the place and see the person. That is that the right time to make that kind of nasihat or not? Many a times we read certain hadiths we read certain kitabs, and now there we come across certain incidents. And then we do not look at the occasion and the place for mentioning that incident. That audience that we are talking to, that person that we are talking to, he doesn't even have the basic knowledge of Islam and Sharia. And then we go and give him very high level philosophy of Islam, or we speak about certain hadiths and certain incidents in the life of the awliya, which is beyond his comprehension, he doesn't understand. So this person will be thrown into complete confusion and he may reject that as a hadith. So at such a time we have to be very careful that what we are saying, whether it is necessary to be said at that moment or not. Har ma'loom ka izhar zaruri nahi, that is the usul, that it is not necessary to make known everything that you know. There are many masail of Sharia which are not really relevant to that person at that time in his life, or they are not applicable to him in that time in his life. Now just because I know something, now I just make izhar of that, I make it known, and at a time and in a place where the people are going to reject it altogether because they don't even have the basics. So then I will be guilty after that of leading that person to kufr if he's going to make statements of that nature. But those things which are essential in a person's life, the person is a Muslim, there are faraiz, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and all these other essentials. Now there again we have to understand that one is when the person is making a bayan. Now in the bayan, in the congregation, there will be different kinds of people. For example, if the person is talking about beard. Now one is if the person is talking on an individual level. Now the person came and he didn't have a beard. Now you don't know the person, you don't have a good friendship with him, or you don't have any kind of association and relationship with him, and you don't even know his background. Now just because he came in front of you, straight away you tell him, whatever, look at your face, you are looking like a potato. Now if this person is going to tell him like that, then the person is going to reject it. But if the person is talking in a congregation, now in the congregation there will be many people, so at that time giving the nasihat, considering oneself as lower than the others, that is the important thing, that the person who is making nasihat, if at the time of nasihat he's got any kind of pride in his heart, that I am superior to those people that I am talking to, then that nasihat will have absolutely no effect. It can create fitnas, because this person now has got pride, whereas he should be making shukr of Allah Ta'ala and making nasihat. So in a congregation, if certain things are said, so whomever the cap will fit, the person will wear it. As Usman radiallahu ta'ala, a person came and he saw in his eyes that this person had committed zina. So he said, what is happening in our community, as we may say in our terms, that what is happening to our people, that they commit zina and then they come and sit in our majlis. Now where did he see it? He saw it in the eyes, because of his basirat and his heart. But he could have told that person directly. When that person came, he could have told him directly, but he didn't say it like that. He waited for him to sit in the congregation, or there he said it. So now nobody knows who he's talking about. The person doesn't know, but the person who committed it knows that he's talking to me. So there are different usools, which unfortunately, because of its neglect, it is causing a lot of chaos, a lot of problems, a lot of fights and arguments and debates and unnecessary friction within the homes, within the family and in our society. So if we are in doubt, then keep our mouths shut and make a lot of dua. That is also a way of tabligh. That if we are in a doubt whether this person is going to blurt out some statement of kufar or is going to listen, then at such a time, if we don't really have any kind of relationship and is a person is a stranger, then make a lot of dua. Ya Allah, change the condition of this person. Change the direction of his life. Ya Allah, bless him also with hidayat. Ya Allah, give him that noor in his heart so that he may recognize haqq and batil. Now this is the way that the person is going to also show that he's got a concern in his heart for deen. I don't know what I was going to talk about, but Allah Ta'ala takes it in whichever direction he wishes. So today what we have discussed is that the person has to love for the sake of Allah. And yes, that is what I was saying, is that to make a friend solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That wherever you find a weakness in me, you tell me. And if I find a weakness in you, I tell you. You must not become offended if I have to point out this weakness or that weakness of yours. And I will not feel offended if you have to point out my weakness. And we will find out whether it is according to the Quran and the Sunnah. So then, this muhabbat is for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and it gains the person shelter under the throne on the day of judgment. And it leads to Jannat also. I will conclude on one incident. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Ali was traveling in the train, and there he saw a person with his pants flowing below his ankles. Our municipal workers, they all are paid to sweep the streets, so we don't have to assist them with our trousers sweeping the floors and sweeping the streets, because they have been paid for it, they will do it. But sometimes we like to assist them. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has laid so much of emphasis on it. It is not just one sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There are great warnings for those people who keep their pants or lungis or kurtas or whatever it is below the ankle. When you are sitting, then there's no problem if it goes below the ankle. If you are going in sajda or if you are making ruku. But when you are standing straight, then it must be above the ankles. And those people who say that, no, that is only for the... that if you have pride, then it is impermissible, then it is forbidden. So this shows that this person has got a lot of pride himself, because he's trying to say that I got no pride, everybody else got pride. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So where is this person now showing his purity, that I got no pride? Those great sahabas, they feared pride, and we got no fear at all. Nevertheless, so he told him, he said that your pants is below your ankles, or shariat ke andar isko, or isko Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam ne mana kiya hai. So first, when he just told him, raise your pants up because it is below your ankles. So he said, who said I must do so? He said, shariat, in the shariat it is that it is not right. So the words he used in reply, tumhari shariat ki aisi taisi, na'uzu billah. In other words, to hell with your shariat. This is what he replied. So Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says, ekdam, he says, I got the shock of my life, that here I told him to do something, or to prevent him from something that was forbidden, that was makruh tahrimi or haram, and the person, the statement that he made took him away to kufr. So he says, after that I saw first whether that person has got any kind of relationship. First I built up some kind of friendship and relationship, and thereafter then I told the person. Otherwise I spoke in general congregation. Now look at the usools of Sharia, how beautiful they are. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the understanding, give you the understanding, and give the ummah the understanding that there is no other solution to our problems but to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. May Allah ta'ala bless us with all the barakat of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.